Anyway, let me start out. What is today's date?
13.
Today is 3/13/2022, and it's the second Lord's Day in Lent. Praise be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Now and forever.
A greeting to all the brothers and the inquirers. Oh, yeah. They're Dermots, right?
Yeah. Northern Ireland, yeah.
Oh, oh. Yeah. Beautiful scenery. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to go swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I wouldn't jump off the rocks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would go. You know one thing that these guys could tell me? It's interesting because there's no beaches.
Yeah.
Where they show, it's just like rock, water. So you really, I mean, there's no beach there at least.
Probably depends on the time.
Oh, okay. I'm sure they got, like in the movie, The Catholics. Remember he was catching a fish?
Yeah. Yeah, they try and have
little coves with beaches.
Yeah.
But very, very, very nice scenery. You got, you know, you got them, the ocean there and all that. It was very nice. But the good thing about Ireland, too, is like they're saying there, it's seated with many saints. And the Americas here are very few.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, one or two. I don't know. The United States, the Americas. Maybe. More than we know about, you know. Like some of the Franciscans, when they came over here to evangelize, they could have been okay. But the Jesuits, on the whole, because are bums.
Yeah.
And their founder and all that, most of your Jesuits.
Yeah.
I don't know, most if not all of them. And when you look at that movie, The Rogue, it's really interesting. I'll just give you a comparison, right? You want to look at St. Patrick first. And I always knew, when I first saw St. Patrick, I said, I know that's how it had to be.
Yeah.
How do four people convert a million barbarians, or how many there are on Ireland, with just four people?
Yeah.
Unless God goes before you with his power and miracles. And God promises that in Mark 16:16. These are the signs that follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And so, when I watched Patrick, I said, that was so great. That's when you watch Moses and all that. Because I grew up with faithless people. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe God did that. I said, well, how could Patrick go in there? And I'm not just talking about miracles and healing people. I'm talking about killing people. Killing people. Killing the people that are going to oppose Patrick and try to kill him. And you read throughout the whole scriptures when God has his chosen leaders and prophets and leaders and of the community, if they're faithful, God defends them so that they can continue their apostolate and continue the schism of core.
Yes.
So when I looked at the Patrick movie, it just lit me up, you know, because I said, that's how I knew it. Because we grew up with mushy, non-judgmental, non-punitive. You don't judge anybody, you don't condemn, and you certainly don't kill anybody. So I love that first scene where Pastor, don't invoke your false gods in front of me.
Yeah.
And he warned him. Did it the second time, he died.
Yeah.
And you read the life of St. Patrick, he killed quite a few people by the power of God. I went, now that, and then the guy tried to kill him, the sword went through him. We had one guy over here, looked at Patrick, he thought it was like a cartoon movie. He didn't believe it. I won't mention his name, but I said, well, this shows you've got no faith.
Yeah.
If you don't believe St. Patrick, then you don't read the Bible. Remember in St. Patrick, one guy says, even the one kid said, where do you get the power from, or St. Patrick? And one guy says, since when did you last read your Bible?
Yeah.
Read the Bible.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. I mean, that's the power of God. Either God's real or he's not. Either he exists or he doesn't. If he exists, he's all powerful. If he's all powerful, you better get the heck out of his way,
because
he'll kick the living shit out of you. Okay, if you're on the wrong side of him, and that's how he protects his chosen people. He even protects unbelievers who are alive today and they don't even know it, because he has mercy on them even. But here's my point on the comparison between Saint Patrick and the that movie on
Black Robe.
Now, the movie The Black Robe, it's true, it's accurate, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to tell you sad about it. And I always believe this.
Yeah,
when you look at the movie The Black Robe and you read about the stories of these later people, I think the last time you started to hear about some pretty good miracles was St. Francis of Assisi. St. Dominic did a few. After that, little, minimal, nothing. And when God's not going before you, that shows there's something wrong either with you or the church you belong to, or you may be okay, but your ruler's not okay, and he's not going to give you miracles. Sometimes he doesn't give you miracles also because he doesn't want to convert the people. That's another issue. If he is not willing to convert the people, he's not going to give you miracles. But when you look at the black robe, it's very sad. And it's typical of the Jesuits using their reasoning power, putting their brain over the heart, putting their man's capabilities over faith in God's miracles. So you see these Jesuits in the black robe, and you see God's not doing any miracles for them. Just watch it. And it's true. That's exactly. He's not doing any miracles. They're depending upon the power of the secular ruler who fights against the Indians. But when they themselves are in amongst the Indians, there's no miracles. There's no. They try to simulate a miracle. And this is typical of it, where... remember he says about writing. They didn't know how to write.
Yeah.
So he goes, in the Jesuit, he goes, tell me, to one Indian, he goes, tell me something. So the Indian tells him something. Then he writes it down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think he wrote it down, right?
And yeah, then he wrote it down. And then he handed it to another guy.
Oh, yeah. He handed it to another Jesuit guy who didn't hear it,
yeah.
And he just read it off the paper.
Yeah.
And they said, whoa, because
yeah.
He didn't know about writing.
Yeah.
And then they show the Indians sit before like a clock because
yeah.
They don't know modern technology.
Yeah, yeah.
And the clock starts dinging. Bang,
yeah.
Bang.
Yeah.
And they thought the clock was a god.
Yeah.
Wait. But. All
Captain Clock.
Captain Clock. But. Throughout the whole thing, even when the guy gets lost, he looks stupid. And the Indians say, this guy's a dope. He gets lost in the woods. He can't find his way back. In other words. And in the end, the whole thing is the guy says, I've been here, I don't know how many years, and I only converted a few people. And the only time they convert is if you promise them that when you baptize them, they're going to get physically better. So they're not really converting for the totally right reason. He's telling them, if you get baptized, I'm going to heal all your diseases, you know. But it's a great movie to show you the difference. And then you're wondering why there's very minimal converts. And if you do get converts, they're not sincere. So why was not God going before these people? We know. We know about Ignatius, their founder, was a bum.
Yeah.
An absolute stoic, heretical, scholastic bum who never said anything about the desecrations in the churches.
Yeah.
Never. Never. First commandment. You walk into those churches, you see those idols, you see those false gods, and you don't say nothing. That's where St. Francis Xavier's in trouble.
Yeah.
He's presumed in hell, too. He may have converted on his deathbed the way he died because he was all alone on an island. And because he did when Francis of Xavier came to the Americas, he did not want to bring scholasticism with him. He hated it. He didn't like it. And he didn't want to bring the ways of universities in Europe, the so-called Christian universities, into the Americas. That thing was good. He was right about that. My point is then, to Francis Xavier, if you don't want to bring it into the Americas, why? Why? Just because it's erroneous, but not heretical. No, because it's heretical. It has to be heretical or idolatrous, or you have to do it. So he'd have to tell you, I don't want to do it because there's heresies in there and contradictions and immoralities, and I don't want to bring it into the Americas. Fine. So what does that say about your founder who's in Europe?
Yeah.
What does it say about all the Jesuits who never said anything about it? Never condemned it. Never condemned the prelates that supported it. What does it say about all of that? You know it's bad, so you want to start your little paradise in America. Fine, without that, which is good. But what about Europe? Lift up your voice. Condemn your founder. Condemn all the bastards in Europe that allowed that shit going on in Europe. Nothing. So, but see, my point is with him, though, he had human respect. But so he didn't allow that in the Americas, which is good. And one guy came into this university that tried to introduce it, and he cursed them, and the guy died. He threw a curse down, which is good. So my whole point on that is, because and he did convert, legitimate converts, too, because he wasn't teaching any heresies himself in the Americas. So he ends up dying all alone. He wanted to go to China, and God didn't allow him, and he let him stay alone, and he knew that God was sort of like punishing him. So he could have converted on his deathbed. He's still presumed to be in hell. But he's a potential deathbed convert because of the good things he did. Solomon even messed up big time. Aaron messed up big time, and he converted. So he could have converted, but he's no saint. We're just talking about saving his soul by the skin of his teeth, which could have happened with him because God's weighing it out. But my point is, and God gave him miracles too, for the benefit of the people that he was converting. But when you look at the, but later on as you go on, if you look at that movie, the Black Rose, there's no miracles. I said, you're not going to convert these Indians unless you show them the power of our God is stronger than your God. Remember St. Patrick, the guy said, we'll bring Patrick down here, we'll show that our gods are stronger than his God.
Yeah.
Maybe his God has power over that mountain. We'll bring him down to our mountain, and we'll show him the power of our God.
Yeah.
And St. Augustine said, I would have never been a Christian if it wasn't for me knowing that the Catholic God was stronger than all the false gods. Proved himself to be superior. When Moses confronted Pharaoh and the black magicians, and they try to match his miracles, and Patrick shows that. But he one-upped them every time. One-upped them every time. And what's God telling you? I'm more powerful than all your, the devil, and all his power, and all your false gods. My God is the God of all gods, the true God. But the black robe is still worth watching because it's sad. It is sad. And I feel sorry for some of these guys, but maybe I should, no, maybe not, though. You know, they're Jesuits. They want... Let me back that up. Right? I'm going to back that up. No, I don't feel sorry for him. No, because they grew up. And his stupid retreat method, what do you call it? His spiritual exercises? That's horse shit. Yeah, horse shit. You heard me. You want to know why? He's trying to force you to get this experience with God. It's sort of like, send me $10 and follow these 10 things and God's going to talk to you. All you got to do is, like, you know, read this, do these 10 things, and God's going to... Who are you to tell me when God's going to talk to me? Who are you to tell me to tell God when he should talk to me? It's a rigid, too rigidly scientific system, and you're sitting there, and I tried that stuff, and you're sitting and you're waiting for something, and it's not happening. You know what I mean? You go to these things, and you know, like I say right now, okay, sit down and try to get... If God's not inspiring you at the moment... Well, try to make it happen. You can't. You can't make it happen. God makes it happen. And he does. He inspires all of us. And if you follow the rule I have, God will inspire you. And I don't tell you that if you do this, he's going to do it now. But I will tell you, if you follow our rule, he will inspire you in his own time. When you're reading the Bible, when you're looking at a good movie, when you're playing a game, when you're recreating, when you're walking, he will inspire you. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will put the love of God in you. He'll inspire you and he'll light you up when he wants to. His spiritual exercises was sort of like, just follow these few things and everything's going to be okay. And you're going to be, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to get this, and it's like sort of like the thing where they say, do this 9-day novena and then God's going to come down and talk to you and you're going to get all this. And he's going to absolutely answer your prayer. Every time you do this 9-day novena, whatever you pray, God's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
It's a false hope he's giving people. Yeah. And when they don't get it, they despair and they quit. Mm-hmm. It does the opposite of what he thinks it's supposed to do. You will not read any such thing in the Old Testament or in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Or even Christ and God himself. Never that kind of a system that he's trying to develop. What does God tell you to do? Pray, study the faith, and do penance. You obey my commandments. That's the big thing. And he says, if you don't obey all my commandments, I will not fill you with the spirit of understanding.
Yeah.
If you don't obey all my commandments. And what does it say? Wisdom does not dwell in the soul subject to sin. That means an obstinate sinner. Okay? So if you do these things, God will inspire you. God will talk to you in his time. So you have all these giant problems with these Jesuits and intellectually, there was another movie too, which I don't know. We call these movies like The Black Robe and even the movie The Mission and this new movie The Silence. We call them good bad, like the movie The Catholic. We call them good bad movies.
Yeah.
Good bad. They're good because I show you the bad. What's the thing? What's that verse about? Study the house of the wicked.
Oh yeah,
Proverbs
21:12.
Yeah. Study the house of the wicked. That you may withdraw him out of his wicked ways. But, like Borgia movie. The Borgia movie is a great movie. It's a good, bad movie.
Yeah.
It's good because it's true. It's bad because they're evil. Okay? But it's true.
Yeah.
You can't turn your eye on that. You look at it and you see. It's a good, bad movie. And it shows you their faithlessness. It shows you why God was not with them. and of course not. And then we, then a couple, maybe like 100 years of God's not with you no more, and he's not doing those miracles anymore like he did with Patrick, St. Patrick and St. Francis. Maybe 100 years of that, then God doesn't do miracles at all. God never does miracles. There's always a scientific explanation for the miracles in the Bible, so there's no such things as miracles, and God doesn't kill anybody. So I'm sorry, God is a mushy little teddy bear, sits up there and lets you do whatever you want.
So, Rich?
Yeah.
Man fires the bullet.
But God desires where they go. Where's that from? The greater glory. I like that. That's a great scene, too. God fires the bullets, but God decides where to land. See, like in the Americas, too, that's what they say. When God turned away from Europe because it totally went bad, he came to the Americas to get converts in the Americas, Lady Guadalupe. And they didn't bring, the Franciscans never brought it over. They didn't like it. And even regardless of whether the individual Franciscan or even like Francis of Xavier was saved or not, he didn't teach it here. He taught the faith. And so God gave him miracles for the benefit of others, not for his own benefit. For the benefit of those whom he was converting in the Americas. Now there was something, I forget what it was, even if you look in the churches in the Americas, at least, now they're desecrated with Indian stuff. That's a modern thing. But if you go back,
no,
they didn't. Huh?
No gargoyles.
Huh?
The thing about no gargoyles in the...
Gilgoyles? I had an Irishman called Greg Gilhooly. How's that for an Irishman? He's a good cop, tough guy. Anyway, they didn't have the desecrations like they did in Europe in the churches because of the conservative, even pure Protestant influence that we had here. It wasn't as bad. And I'm not saying none of the churches, but most of them really weren't desecrated like they were in Europe, if you notice. They're desecrated now in a lot of places here, especially out where we are in the western United States, with some Indian crap. Because you've got these pagan Indians now bringing their crap into the churches.
Yes.
And they're putting them up on the walls, and they're mixing them in with the church, with the statues.
And the bad art.
The modern art. The blasphemous Christs. The ugly Christs. And they do have, so, but that's a modern thing. It's just, so it got worse over here. So anyway, when you're looking at the difference between, and you can understand that this isn't happening, you know, they say out of sight, out of mind, right? So God does no miracles for like 100 years. He's not showing his power. I say God's playing possum. He says that, I play possum. That's what God said in the Bible. Remember that verse? You said I'm playing possum. They're going to be looking for that. It's the Amos curse, right? He says in Romans, one of them says, Proverbs. They shall Proverbs 2:20 or something like that. They shall call upon me, and I will not hear them. They will look for me, and they will not find me. They will look for me. It's Proverbs 2:28, I think. They will look for me, and they will not find me. And the Amos curse, Amos 8:11-13. He says, the day shall come when I will send a famine upon the land, not for a thirst of water or eating bread, but of hearing the word of God. People will go from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall seek the word of God, and they shall not find it. See? He's playing possum. Why should he show himself to these people who have no faith in him? And he turned them over to the devil and all their imaginations and false beliefs, so whatever they can believe in, they can believe in. He's hiding from them. How many years has he been hiding from them? Because they're worthy of it. You don't want to believe in judging people, condemning people, an all-powerful God, then you just lost his protection. He's hiding from you.
Yes.
And that's a sure sign that almost everybody in the world is worthy of it. He doesn't do it unless you deserve it. It's not for us to question God.
Yeah.
And to say, why have you hid yourself from the people in the Americas for 1,500 years, these Indians? Because he did.
Yeah.
And he knows they're evil. And when he sees in his predestined mind, he's got all these evil souls, he throws them in the Americas for 1,500 years and let them live and die there and go to hell.
Yeah.
He gives them a chance in his predestined mind. You don't see it. He sees it. You don't question God.
Right.
Water a dead tree.
Yeah. It's like watering a dead tree. So anyway, then this is the church we grew up in. That's when they say stuff like, oh, our Brandy always says he speaks to God, and God speaks to him. Ha, ha, ha. What's wrong with that? You got a problem with that? You know what they got a problem with? They don't believe in God. You know my second coming to Jesus Christ speech? That's what I said. I said, God is right here now. He's here listening to us right now. Do you believe it? It's true. Uh-oh. No, but you know what, though? Goodwill people, that's what they need to hear.
Yep.
That's what they need. If you don't talk like that,
right,
you don't believe in them. I don't care. You can say you believe in God. You could pray a million rosaries. You can go to Mass every day. If you don't believe in that, you don't believe in God. And you're a practical atheist. God is just a figment of your imagination. A figment of your imagination. That's all he is. He's not the real God. You don't really believe in him when you start talking like that. And then you want God to help you? Come on. What are you, crazy? You've got people in here questioning God's judgments, his punishments. How could he put people in slavery? How could he enslave children? How could he take them away from their parents? All this is bullshit. This is from worldly people that think we're living in utopia.
Yeah.
And I say conservative Protestants are way better than your nominal Catholics.
Yeah.
Most of your nominal Catholics, and even your nominal Catholics that are charismatic-y, they read the Bible, but they're mushy. You know, it's weird, but they're still liberal. If you're around a Catholic, see, the traditionalists don't even read the Bible, so they're not even in the ballpark. Forget them. You can't get the traditionalists to read the Bible even. They don't. It's collecting dust in the bottom of their shelf. So forget them. They're gone. Charismatics have a little hope because they read the Bible, but they ignore all the passages about judging and condemning people. Go to a charismatic person and try to judge anybody. Try to condemn anybody. Try to say something, someone's on the road to hell, he committed a mortal sin. Go ahead and say it. They'll kick you out. No, God judges me. You don't judge. It's God to judge. Don't judge anybody. Just pray for him. These are still your nominal Catholics, right? Your conservative Protestants, at least they have more of the idea of punishing and killing people. And at least they say you got to believe in Jesus or you're going to go to hell. So, I mean, this is the part of the great apostasy that's been going on for so long. But when you don't want to recognize, and then so then the devil's duping all these people. So God allows the devil to come along. And the devil is powerful. God's given him a lot of power. And he's even given him more power in his final days than the devil's ever had. And he's always had power. And before Christ came, during the Old Covenant era, Testament era, he had more power than the New Covenant era because Christ limited his power. But after those 1,000 years he's released, he's back in power again. And I think he's even given him a little extra superpower in these final days that he's never had before. Stuff where he can foretell the future, the devil. God allows him to get a glimpse at things. God allows it. The devil can do stuff like, you could be thinking about a leaf falling in your head.
Yeah.
Then you look at the TV, and there's a leaf falling on the TV, and you look outside, and there's a leaf falling outside, all at the same time, and that's all from the devil. The devil can do that. God's given him the power to do that. And if you see that, that's just one little example. I've seen millions. God, it happens a lot with me. And the reason the devil does that with people at the beginning, he flatters you. You've got some power. And then he wants you to follow him. He wants you to believe in him, to start going towards him for that power. And he figures, you know, hey, you're gonna, and the whole thing you've got to say is, well, what's the purpose? Why would God do it? I mean, is there any purpose? Is there a message behind it, you know? If it's something stupid, I mean, it makes no sense. The devil goes, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, leave. Okay, fine. Unless you're invoking the true God, like Gideon did, to put rain on the fleece or not put the rain on the fleece. But all I'm telling you is, the devil's got some power. And God's allowing the people, because you're worthy of the operation of our curse, to start following the devil instead of him, because you follow him anyway. When you got an idol up on the door and a false god in the church, what does God owe you? What does he owe you? He turns you over to the devil and he hides from you. There was one verse he says, I hid from my people and delivered in the hands of their enemies. That's another good verse. I said, because my people were wicked, I delivered them over to captivity. I hid my face from them and delivered them into captivity, and they fell by the sword. I hid my face from them. Playing possum again. And he's allowing the devil to come out, and they're following. And the devil, he's in every false religion. He's in every witchcraft, warlocks, all kinds of the occult. He showed aliens from space. Those are all devils. Fooling people. Ouija boards start working for them. The worst thing that can happen is when you start invoking these things and it starts to work for you. Then you start going to the devil for your help and for the devil to teach you. And when you look at these creatures, I like it when we do the exorcism prayer, because it says the devil and whatever wanders out the earth to ruin souls. There's many different kinds of devils. Ugly, nasty. Each one has a different kind of power. These things they talk about, fairies and all that, they're real. It really is true. There's devils out there and damned humans. They're ghosts. They walk around there's on the earth, damned humans. And they harass people. They don't have the power the devils have. They're in subjection to the devils. But the devils are the more dangerous even and more powerful. So, I mean, and the people today, a lot of them, they want to go to that devil, and that's where they're getting their help. So what a curse. Now, you can sit down and say, why God allow it? Because they didn't have the faith for many years, because they deserve it. And that's why, although, here's the thing that's good about it. The people that know that, one thing I'll say, the people at least that believe there's a devil and there's other worlds out there, they're better off than the atheist. And here now is your other person we got today, who we got today. How does the devil deceive the atheist? He doesn't show himself to the atheist at all, the devil. He doesn't move the Ouija board. He doesn't, if he did a little, it doesn't work. So, and this is a lot of people too. The atheistical people, I think this is probably the bulk of the people. Even if they say they believe in God, God doesn't, is playing possum. He don't do no miracles. And when I grew up, the devil doesn't do anything. So you don't know there's a devil. The first way God created me, converted me, was showing me the devil. I saw, like it says in that movie, if I show them the devil, then they'll believe there's a God. That's how he converted me. He let the devil kick the living crap out of me in 20,000 different ways, spiritually, physically, and I've seen everything. And that converted me right away. Once I seen that, I was so happy. Does that make sense?
Because you knew there was another world.
That's right. Because I knew there was another world, and I said, now I know it's really true. Now I really know that God is real. And then I went to God right away for help. I didn't know everything yet. I was learning, but I went to God and the scriptures to help me. You see? And most people, that's the way he lets them just not get anything. He does, and the devil doesn't want to do anything. He lays back. He says, I'm not going to show myself to these atheistical people. He shows himself to people who at least believe there's another world out there. There's something else out there other than us. We're not the only thing. There's other superior creatures. There's another world. And so he'll show himself to people like that. But people like that have more hope of converting than the atheistical person. Because at least they believe there's another world out there. There's something greater than they are. Even when you watch the movie The Vikings and Romans and their pagan ways, they always believed and knew there was another power out there. So that when another power comes along and challenges their power and defeats it, they can convert just like that. They're not going to sit back and say, no, I don't believe this doesn't happen. They believe there's another world out there. They're easier to convert than the atheistical person. And believe me, most of your nominal Catholics are atheistical. They're practical atheists. Because they don't really believe in God. They don't believe in his miracles. And they don't really believe in the devil. And specifically, I was told by the priest, there is no such thing as the devil. I told you the story a million times. Father Patterson, in Newark, New Jersey, a lady good counsel. I said, Father, then what was Jesus doing all that time when he's casting people out of the devil? Well, he said they were casting out of devils because they didn't have science yet. They didn't realize it was all scientific explanation. So to bypass the scientific, like we now, modern man, came to know, he just said it was the devil. That's what he told me. I wanted to kick the shit out of that guy at that moment. Really. I should have. Forgive me, Lord, for not punching the guy in his face. You know, you got the false respect for priests. I was devastated. Okay, so you hear stuff like this. So these are all the different ways that God gets people. But I didn't plan about talking about this at all anyway, so this is great. I think this is God's will. This is one we'll probably post up anyway.
Ask, and you shall receive.
I didn't even ask. It just happened. No, I know. God does that.
The world's full right now of the Romans 1:1 curse. They've given up to a reprobate.
Yes,
sense.
The whole world's full of the Romans 1 curse.
Yep.
Which brings us to the, what's that other one?
Yeah.
Romans 1, and it's an OC too, is the Romans. OC
14.
OC 14. Yeah.
4:6.
God delivered them over to reprobate sense because they did not let. And the other operation of error, which is 2 Thessalonians 2.
9-11.
Yeah. It says, the Antichrist coming is according to the power of Satan. All lying signs and wonders and all seduction of the iniquity to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Therefore, God shall send in the operation of error to believe lying, that all may be judged who have not consented to the truth. And how many people are believing stupid lies today? Mm-hmm. You walk around and say, how could you believe that? Yeah, how could you believe a piece of wood is a god? I mean, that operation of error, Chris, is rampant today. So there's more hope for people at least believe there's miracles, such as another world. Even though there even witches or warlocks or Protestants doing false miracles, Protestants believe in it. God's allowing the devil to deceive them. They think they got that's a pretty bad deception on the Protestant side. The devil can make you better. He can make you sick. The devil's behind all physical illnesses. God has given him power over our bodies. And our souls, if you're not right with God. If you're right with God and pleasing to God, he has no power over your soul. But if you're not right with God, he has power over your body and your soul. So, and God's the one that can cure all these things, of course. But, and I just say, like in these final days, I can see many people being deceived by the devil and going to him. You know, you're a powerful government, United States, maybe France, or something, or Germany, or any of these governments, and all their spy, Mossad in Israel, all your spy organizations, you think they don't invoke the devil for help? Witches, warlocks, aliens, UFOs, I don't care what you call it, if something shows up and starts with the power of the devil, and starts prophesizing to them things are going to happen, tell them where things are hidden, where they couldn't find them, they're going to go to them. And they don't go to them. And that's where they get a lot of their information. See, one of those books, which there's a lot of good stuff in it, but there's some heresies in there too. Malice Maleficarium, a lot of good stuff in there too, though. But they're trying to say, if the enemy invokes the help of the devil, and he can do this, so when he shoots an arrow, it can go over the towers and into the place and hit the guy like a guided missile. The devil did that. He can do that. He does do that. He did do that. And so they're saying, if we're fighting against somebody like that, can't we invoke the devil? And get his help or we're dead. No, you can't invoke the devil for nothing. You invoke God and he will guide the bullet or the arrow, not the devil. God will help you. But the devil wants you to go to him. He's a, hey, our enemy's using the devil to do this, so we're going to go to the devil also. You never go to the devil. You go to God for help. But that's how the devil seduces a lot of people. So you got one of the CIA, Mossad's doing one thing, CIA's doing what, they all got a one up on another. They're all going to the devil. For the secret information, for the power that they have. And the devil gives them great power on this earth. But they don't sit back to think, what does this devil promote? Immorality, faithlessness, goofiness, buffoonery, court jesters, stupid crap. It can't be from God. You want to follow that guy? I don't care what he promises me. If he's a goofball, if he's a pervert, if he's a pedophile, if he's a maniac, I don't care what power he's got. I ain't going to follow him. I'm not going to listen to him. Just kill me then and I'll die as a martyr. I ain't going to follow you. You got to look at what they believe in. You got to look how they live and what they profess. And that always says, I'll tell you, if you get these aliens, too, people, they're true. He appears as a UFO. He does. These things are real. But it's the devil fooling people. Invoke the name of Jesus Christ and watch how quick that creep runs away from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I be gone. Or even tell, say the name of Jesus even. Yeah. And they run. A lot of times you don't want to do that because they like these creatures. Yeah. These creatures are helping them. And when you get the help of the devil like this, you want to keep it secret. You know, you don't want to let everybody know. You got the power. I'm not going to everybody else get this power. I'm going to keep it for myself so I can use it for my own good. And a lot of them are embarrassed with the stuff they got to do, too. But more or less, they want to keep it secret for their own protection, for their own good. You don't want everybody else to have it.
I think magicians that do big things, you know they're invoking it, but they got the secret little package.
Yeah, they got the little, right.
Copperfield.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, some of these modern magicians are, I guarantee you, are the devil's helping them. Your modern, David Copperfield and stuff, some of the stuff they do, that's not even human magic. I'm not against doing human magic, as long as you tell people this is human magic. Yeah, and you got to let the people know that. But so that's fine. But a lot of your magic today is not human magic, like your card tricks, stuff. stuff like that.
Like the guy running the bus, he did the card trick.
And Yeah. Go ahead. Anybody got a comment?
We were out there in the pumpkin place. I was thinking it's a word magical applied workers in the context you were saying.
Oh, magical, yeah. Well, if you're going to use it, you've got to. Yeah.
I was thinking that it says look magical or mystical. What do you think of?
If you're going to say something about like magic, if you're going to say the sunset is magical, I wouldn't say that. No, you don't want to do that. You want to say mystical maybe or beautiful. The only time you can use magic legitimately is if it's human magic. Or even you can say it's the devil too. It's black magic. Usually when you're talking about, if it's human magic, you got to let them know, okay? You can give it another name, but if somebody uses and say, look, I'm going to do a magic trick.
Sleight of
hand, and but you got to let the people know that. This is human magic. This is not something from the devil. Because magic, other than that, as we use the term, is stuff the devil does.
I think like TJ's talking like, so let's say you're looking at like a real old mysterious. See, maybe mysterious instead of magical. Like,
yeah,
so, you know,
mysterious
yeah.
is better, yeah. yeah. Yeah, that's the better word. Some people can make a mistake and say it's magical and they don't mean that. So you got to correct them. If they're Catholics or if they're even choirs, you tell them. You know, don't use that word because it could be misinterpreted. Use the word mystical. It's very mystical, or it's a very supernatural, or it's a very beautiful thing, or like that. So that's on the. What did you guys think the final days was going to be like anyway? Huh? What do you expect? If it's not before us, I don't know what is. Even Jerry Maddox said this once. Jerry. I know what he's doing now. And he said, if this isn't the great apostasy, I'd hate to see what it looks like when it comes. But what he didn't know, which I hope he knows eventually, we've got to pray for him, it goes back 1,000 years. This is nothing new. You go and tell me. You know, here's the kind of stuff they tell you about, like, some of these priests are in Americas. This one priest was a tough guy. He was like a cowboy kind of a priest, real tough priest. And he killed a bear with his bare hands, and he shot him, killed him, stabbed the bear. All right, okay, David killed the bear too, yeah. But what else did he do? What else did he do? Did he do miracles? Did he raise people from the dead? Did he invoke God to kill people who were absolutely sinful? Did he cure people? What did he do besides killing a bear? So they come up with these stories that are all human things, but this has been going on for a long time now. And I don't know, if we studied it, I think you'll go back and find Francis of Assisi and Dominic, and back at that time, the 13th century, that's about it. Yeah. I don't know.
Anthony.
Francis Xavier did do some miracles, I do believe that, though. So in Americas, I do believe there were some miracles done for the sake of some of these Indians. I do believe that. But nothing like you see in the Bible, or like God normally does when he's converting people.
Who was Vincent Ferrer?
Vincent Furball, Vincent the Furball. Yeah. He did some miracle to convert Jews.
Yeah, when was he
in the church?
When was he around, though?
Oh, 1400.
1400,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God was doing miracles even through the apostates for the sake of others.
Right, exactly.
You know what verse we use for that?
He's done miracles in my name, and I know you're not. Matthew 7:23.
Yeah, Will's got it. Matthew 7:23.
Get away from me.
Yeah, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. We have prophesied in thy name. We have done miracles in thy name. And I will say, go away from you, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Why does God allow them to do real miracles in his name for the benefit of the recipient, not for them?
What was that one in Mark 3 that they came to him and said, there's people doing things in your name? And he said,
oh, let them go as long as you get. Yeah, because it's in my name. It's going to be good for them at least.
Right.
There was another thing I was thinking of on that.
Never heard of it.
Something like there was another verse like that. St. Paul said something. If I preach, it's you were talking about. If they preach the gospel and they're going to, as long as they're preaching the gospel, who cares? But there was another verse too. I'm thinking of right now.
Peter and Paul, I know, but you I not know.
No, that was something different. Yeah, that's what he did. I forget what it is now. Anyway, so that's all the stuff. But you're not getting the Rock'em Sock'em miracles and power of God. Especially, okay, now God was doing that to convert the Americas, okay? Since then, when did Our Lady of Guadalupe come around?
1531.
And God's still working with them, you see? And the Franciscans were there, and
yeah.
even some of the Jesuits.
Right,
yeah. But I would say, I don't know what date you want to put on it, a Cortez, or when they went over to Great Britain.
Well, that was, because like you said, that was with Borgia, right, 1492.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And God
Columbus.
Now, that's right.
And then
right.
Cortez
1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's when he came over to the Americas.
Right.
And so miracles were being done here, even
right.
by apostates, for the benefit of those recipients, because they did not know, and they did not hold the apostasies that they held. But I think if you look back, we can study this. I think in the Americas, miracles also are not happening anymore here neither, even in the Americas. And I think you probably can trace that back to 1700 or 1800.
That's the tortilla miracle.
Yeah. Huh?
The tortilla miracle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mary appeared on the tortilla. Yeah, yeah in Mexico.
Yeah.
On a cheese ham and cheese jam, as they saw a vision of Mary. That's like blasphemy. To me, that's blasphemy. All these false apparitions of Mary. I think if you go back to 1700 or 1800, 1700 even, mm-hmm. it's no more America miracles. No more. It's over. It's done.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some people bring up the Jesuits and they talk about the Black Pope and all this kind of stuff. And I respond to them that, and I say, there's probably a lot of dodgy Jesuits out there. And of course, they came about in the Great Apostasy. But they also went across to Japan and the Americas, like you're saying. They were one of the main groups that went out and converted the world. I'm just thinking of the verse that Jesus said that all nations will be converted, you know, and they kind of fulfilled that prophecy to be like just some good,
Yeah, that's what I just said about Francis Xavier. He was a Jesuit. That's what I just said. God used him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, you ever heard them call about the Black Pope, and they talk with the Jesuits like they're the ones that are going to bring the Antichrist and all this?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear it but it's not that. Well, you know, it's not just them. It's the whole church. It's not just the Jesuits. They're efficient, though. They are efficient, though.
Oh, wasn't it?
They are bad. I mean, they're one of the most evil influences in the church. There's no doubt about that. They're powerful.
The Jesuits have to have, they were chosen because they have this super high IQ.
Yes, yes.
You know, became this amazing effect.
That's right. And that's humanism.
Like 13 years.
Yep.
You have to go to school for 13 years to be ordained.
Yeah.
And
you know what the Jesuits are like?
Yeah.
Think about it. That's what they are. They probably are one of the most evil. Think, and they are, if you look at the history, I'll get up in a second, but you take a look at when Satan chooses his people in this world. My nephew was a very smart kid, but he's got big problems. It's a public, so he's a homosexual, and public, though. I mean, he's married to a guy and all that. I mean, he's not even ashamed of himself. If you're ashamed of what you're doing, there's hope for you, you know? Like I said before, if you're doing homo sins and you're ashamed, you're not even a homo, you're just committing those sins, but you're a human, you're ashamed of it. You don't embrace it. Well, I mean, my nephew's really bad. Here's my point. He's very smart, but this is one thing he didn't bite on, though. And the United Nations, all your world governments, look for high IQ people. They look for them. Bill Clinton, look at all these guys. They're like, what do you call it? Alpha, beta, mega,
Rhodes
Scholars and all that. They look for the highly educated people, and they use them to come to power. The Jesuits do the same thing. They do the same thing. So they're relying upon human means. That's why I told you about like, they're writing on the tablet and they go tell him, and or tell him, you can talk on the phone, you can hear the guy over here, and then he's going, ooh, that's a miracle. So the Jesuits are performing false miracles because they know they can't perform true miracles. So you're dazzling with your modern inventions, but it's a lie. It's not a lie if you use the invention, but you're making them believe that you've got some supernatural power that you do not have, because God's not giving you miracles. And these are the brain knows. It's not just the Jesuits, too, because it's the whole scholastic movement. But they really were the ones that incorporated these super smart guys. Now, if you weren't so smart, get the heck out of here. You got to go to school for like 13 years. Then they're making that like with everybody now. Go ahead.
I don't know anything about it. I heard somebody tell me that the Jesuits were in with the Illuminati
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Look, another movie. And here's another thing. Francis, well, Francis Xavier, yeah, he was a Jesuit and he was an apostate. He's presumed in hell, that's for sure. But God still used him to convert many people in the Americas. Well, I'm going to tell you another thing, though. That was 1500s. I think when you go on into 1600 or 1700, it's all over. And here's my other point. What's the thing about the Japanese martyrs, that movie Silence?
Right.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's another bad, good movie. If I have some spare time, I'll bring it in. A very bad, good, a good, bad movie. The Silence.
Yeah.
These Jesuits, for the most part, though, were not converting the Japanese. They weren't converting the American Indians. They were paid. They were keeping them in their superstitions, and they were worse than they were.
Yeah.
And with that movie, if you watch the movie Mission. The, what's that word they use? The
liberation theology.
Oh, we should have never come over to the Americas to convert these Indians because they were pure and holy. So we came over and poisoned them with our ways. Okay? That's the group of Jesuits that were unconverting Indians. And they believe that their pagan ways are more holy than we were. At the end of the whole Mission movie, the guy is writing the thing, and it's true. He says, we should have never come over here because they were much better before we came over here. We brought disease. We brought everything to them. Now, that's not the good Jesuit. That's not Francis Xavier. Now, when you watch the movie Silence, and it's disgusting, a lot of your Jesuits were scared of martyrdom, and they questioned their own faith. They couldn't understand why God was bringing suffering upon the Japanese people. And this is when they found the Japanese. After 100 years, they were on their own. Then they rediscovered, they came to the island, and some of the Japanese still had the faith, and they were ripping it out of their hearts.
Yeah.
This one guy saying, God, how could you let these people suffer? What kind of a God are you? And the one Japanese guy says, well, isn't that in our faith that God allows us to suffer as martyrs for his glory? And they're teaching the Jesuit. And this one Jesuit, through the whole movie, he has a great conflict of how could God let people suffer? How could you let your own people suffer? And he tells the one guy, they make him step on a crucifix on Christ. That's how you deny it. You have to step on the crucifix. So he says to the Japanese guys, he says, just step on it, even though you don't mean it, because you can save your life. That's what the Jesuit tells the Japanese people. And he says, but Father, but you, as long as you believe in Jesus, you can step on the crucifix. And then one guy wouldn't do it, and they killed him, and the Jesuit goes nuts. How come you let this guy die, Lord? Why'd you let him die? They hung him upside down, and they did this, and they did that, and peeled this. Why'd you let him die? The movie The Silence shows this.
Yeah.
Now, these are the Jesuits that weren't even converting people anymore.
Yeah.
And my point was, probably when I was 17 or 18, it's all over.
Yeah.
The Americas are done, too. That's it. It's all over. Even for the Americas. That only lasted for a certain period of time. And then that ended. He was no Francis of Xavier. You have examples of Jesuits going into China, picking up Chinese idolatrous customs to please the Chinese. You go. Movie Silence shows that one of the Jesuits completely apostatized. He didn't believe in a Christian God anymore. He believed in a Japanese God. And he dressed up like a Japanese, took a wife and everything, and he was living like a pagan Japanese. Because the Japanese, your Japanese would tell them, your God is good for Europe, but he's not good for Japan. He doesn't fit in with our way of life. Our God's better for us. And so you're looking at all that happening, right? The only Jesuits that were converted to was right in the beginning, like Francis of Xavier, 1500, 1600, when they first came over here and they're converting people. Franciscans were better than them. But even those Jesuits were apostates, but they were at least converting some people. Then they became completely perverse. I mean, as time went on, even more and more and more. But look at us, how we grow up. Do you think any Santa Claus?
No.
Look at us. That's every. It's not just a Jesuit thing. It's all over the place.
Wasn't that a Jesuit priest that told you couldn't tell the adulterers?
Yes.
Adultery or
Father Paul Trincher,
yeah.
When he says he can never tell if anybody committed a mortal sin ever, ever. Subjective, objective, objective, subjective, objective. He did subjective. I don't know his heart. I said, you don't know his heart. He's looking at his neighbor's life, right? I said, that's a natural law. I said, so you tell him in a confessional, maybe he didn't know it is, but that's a mortal sin. Then he comes next week and does it. I still can't say he committed a mortal sin. This is the Jesuit. You know, you guys are right. The Jesuits are you know, they're really evil. They're a strongly evil influence because of their braino and their administration abilities and all that. Yeah.
Well, wasn't their big statement, make your own truth, isn't that their
Yeah, they're one of their big mottos.
Yeah.
The Jesuits call make your own truth.
Yeah.
Fidel
Castro.
You know what?
Whenever you tell me that.
That belief, the Jesuits have infected. It's sort of like they all believe. Remember the Edwin? The friend? Do what you want. Yeah, I just want you to be. Do what thou wouldest to hold the law.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want you to be happy.
Yeah.
That Benedictine, so-called Benedictine, apostate Edwin Leahy,
yeah,
St. Benedict's Prep in Norquay. You got to look at that thing that went on over there.
Yeah. The thing is, like with the Protestants, like that black pope, they substitute that for the Jews. They try to say that the
right.
Jesuits and the Catholic churches control, rule the world and not the Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they try to cuff it.
Yeah.
So it's bad. And in that sense, they go too far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, they do, yeah.
They
the whole church is evil.
Get, and then
yeah.
where they control
the
world,
whole,
they
yeah.
come on and control
that. Well,
world.
You know,
it's not the Jews.
You're
the
right. It's the church of the false prophet. I mean, because
right.
the false prophet has to be someone who is claiming to be a true prophet, which
right.
is Catholicism.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Hector said that scholastics, Jesuits, are basically a cliche of spiritual criminals.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Spiritual gangsters.
Yeah.
And
I
look, you guys heard me say
yeah.
a million times, I grew up with a lot of mafia guys in Newark and all kinds of, in the big city, all that kinds of stuff, street kids. The mafia guys and street kids look like saints compared to these guys.
Yeah.
Remember in the movie The Godfather? I
yeah.
forget which one, when Michael Corleone wants to get out a little bit and he goes to Rome?
Three.
Yeah, Godfather 3?
Yeah, right.
And he goes, wow, he says, I thought that we were, see, this is like, I thought like the mafia was bad and these guys in the Rome, these prelates are, I forget the word he used, it was something like, he says, they're even way worse than we are. Way worse than we are. Yeah.
Gustavo's here, I think he probably got the hour. Our thing mixed up, but he's our...
Well, Gustavo's on now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so Gustavo's on now also. All right, now,
well,
anyway...
The best anti-Jesuit you could get is Christ when he chose the apostles. Didn't choose any
brainiacs.
No,
yeah. I mean, the apostles were simple fishermen, but they weren't stupid,
no,
either. They were very wise.
Exactly.
They knew the faith like this. Like the, yeah, they don't have to be like the rainmaker, like genius, braino geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, you want to find out, look at apostate father Anthony Chukota. He's dead and in hell, presumed in hell now. When he wrote that thing about why he won't listen to people like us, he goes, you're just a layman, you're not a theologian. You know, he says, these theologians had to go to school for like 20 years before they can start teaching. I said, 20 years before they can start teaching? I said, well, that'd be fine if they were being taught good stuff. But they were being taught 20 years of crap. 20 years of crap in that head, jamming it into your head, 20 years of crap. And secondly, you don't even need to study 20 years to be a priest.
Yeah.
Look at the simple fishermen that Lord chose them. You grow, if you grow up as one of the faithful, you grow up with the faith. You have it from childhood.
Yeah.
You don't got to go to, there's a certain amount of time, 3 or 4 years, maybe 20 years. And that was his whole bragging. I said, yeah, if you're going to 20 years, to it's like being in an insane asylum for 20 years.
Yeah.
You're going to come out nuts. He's boasting about it. And then I was shown about his theologians. I talk about it in one of my books here, about his so-called theologians replaced the magisterium. That's what he said. He said, theologians is their own magisterium. He's typical of your Jesuit. He was a braino, a stupid genius, a stupid, unwise genius. I spoke to him once on the phone when I was leaving the monastery in Fillmore with the Diamond Head, and I was already kicked out and I was getting ready to leave and I was trying to find out where to go. I called him on the phone. I said, maybe I'll see if I can go out there where he is. And then I was talking about John Paul II, and I said, well, John Paul II is a heretic. And he went, well, a material heretic. I said, a material heretic. I said, well, he's doing his formal heresy. Well, no, we can't make that judgment. That was it, Father. Bye-bye, Father Chukota. I ain't going after you. They'll write a whole paper about the Sedi Vacantist position and about all this. And at the end, here's what they say. However, this is all my opinion. So what's the purpose? It could be all wrong. So why should I listen to you? They do that. They'll say good things, then they'll undermine it right at the end. I mean, these people are sick bastards. And they're not smart. They're smart, maybe. You want to call it smart? I don't even like to use the word smart. They're really idiots. They're like the Rain Man, if you watch the movie Rain. They're like
idiot savants.
They're not wise.
Yeah.
But you know what's sneaky about them, though? They do know how to twist words, though.
Yeah, they do.
They got the devil. It's not their worst. They're idiot savants are just, you know, you can catch them. They're sneaky. But, you know, if you have true wisdom and all that, you can catch them. You can catch them. Just follow them around. You'll catch them. I caught you, got them. You should catch him if you got good laws. He said, you're a liar. You're a liar. I said, look what our Lord chose, the simple fishermen. That's what they were.
That,
they forced them to take heretical philosophy at
philosophy is the epitome of scholasticism, of stupidity, of lost people searching by human means alone what the truth is. It's a vain thing. It's a stupid thing. Common sense can tell you that when you're reading all these guys, like, I'm going to, because not one of them ever tells you that they absolutely have the truth. Because if they did, that would end their philosophical debates, and they don't want that to happen. So, like, then what am I facing here? 50,000 different philosophical opinions, all admitting they don't know for sure if they have the truth? I just wasted my life. I just wasted my time. Instead of telling us, reading what God tells us, the true philosophy, if you want to use the word, sometimes they do, is Christianity.
Yes.
It was Judaism in the Old Covenant. Old Covenant, before that, was the true religion from the time of Adam and Eve. But yeah, these Jesuits are a piece of work, that's for sure. But their belief is infected like a whole bunch of people. So these good, bad movies show it. They show it. How do you get to the point where you can have, like that one Jesuit guy in China, he dressed like a Chinese, but it shows it in the movie Silence. That guy actually turned over to be a Japanese, and he worshipped their gods and everything. He lost faith in the true God. He never had faith in the true God. And through that whole movie, you see them. It's disgusting, really. It's ugly. It's ugly. You watch movies like that, and then you look at St. Patrick. And then you get a guy you want to help, like the guy we had here, you show him St. Patrick, and I'm going to show you the truth, the real power of God, the supernatural miracles and all this. And then he says, oh, he thought it was like a goofy, like a cartoon or something. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't. What is it? The senseless man does not understand the spiritual things of God. It's in 2 Corinthians. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 2:14, yeah. The sensual man does not perceive the things that are a spirit of God because it is foolishness to him. And he cannot understand because it is spiritually examined. And that's, these are your scholastic. Everything has to be human, braino, figured out by the human mind and all that. Oh, I just make a little mention. You guys think you had trouble with the clock yesterday? You know the saying that you learn something new even when you're old? You know, every day you learn something new. You also make new mistakes. It goes two ways. You make new mistakes every day. Well, this clock thing is a little confusing, I gotta admit. But this is the first time I made this mistake. I moved the clock backwards 1 hour. I said spring backwards, fall forward. And it's supposed to be spring forward, fall backwards. So I moved it back an hour, so now I'm off by 2 hours. So I'm waking up around 6:30 or something, and Ron calls me, hey Rich, because I told him to move it back. And he looks at his cell phone and he goes, he says, we're off by 2 hours. It's 8:30. Get the pee on real quick. Go over here and pray real quick. Get this going. I was able to get everything I needed. I couldn't do everything, but I got enough done. But anyway, I went back 2 hours instead of, so I'm off by 2 hours.
Yeah.
Brother Nick was off too. That's why he was late.
Yeah.
Sisters are off too.
I know.
See, it happens.
When I woke up, I was like, wait a minute.
You tell me though, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but there's something wrong about changing clocks on people.
That's crazy.
That's straight out of hell. You know, two times a year we got to change our rhythms. What do they call it? Circadian rhythms? Is that the right word? Ah, big word, circadian rhythm. Is that a creature? A circadian? I don't know.
The cicada bug.
The cicada bug. They're changing our rhythms.
It even messes up the animals. Oh, yeah.
It messes the animals up. The Jews did it. The Jews did it to make more money. They have more daylight. It's all a Jewish thing to make more money. See, people naturally wake up sort of when the sun starts to come up. That's God's warning. The birds start chirping. That's not beep, beep. I used to do a good bird. The birds, the sun comes up, I come up. And you regulate it by the movements of the sun. This changing the clock crap is crazy. And now in Ireland, they change it a week later. Maybe in Austria, where Hector is, they change it over this time. And then they get all these different changes. It's enough for us to learn the natural cycles and differences in time. You don't got to throw a curveball in there.
plus two.
It's if they did it to make money. All
right,
let's see.
Sounds like the Scholastics, right? 7 hours ahead, minus one.
Yeah. Oh, I was off. I made a mistake on the Ember Days. This first week in Lent was supposed to be the Ember Days, Nick, on the calendar. I messed up. It was supposed to be the first week in Lent or the Ember Days, but I have it for this upcoming week. So we'll do the Ember Days for this upcoming week. But next year I'm going to correct it. So I made a mistake on the calendar. I knew I was going to have, I didn't want it, but I figured there's going to probably be mistakes on the calendar. All right.
But Hector asked, is I have to look up, is Jeremiah 17:13 a confirmation of the Trinity?
I have to read it. What is it? Go look at it. Hector has some really good quotes there on proving really good stuff on the finger of God and Christ writing his finger in the dust. And a couple of, he has some really good stuff on there, proving like Christ is God. Like what I said in my How God Created the World, when he took the clay and put it on my man's eye, why did he use clay? To show that he's God. How did he make Adam's body? Out of clay. And God's showing you, I'm God. That's why he put the clay on his eye. But he came up with a good one, too, about, I used to one, too, about in the old in the Psalms, it says, God calms those seas. God calms the seas. And Jesus Christ calmed the seas. I'm God. And he had something there about the writing the finger in the, on the ground or something like that. It was a good, he had two quotes there that were really good. Proving that Jesus is God. Go ahead.
It's just interesting that seas sometimes mean the mankind, the world, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's true, yeah. His grace calms. It's true. And we pray that, like you calm the sea, calm our hearts, calm our souls, tame the wild beast. Go ahead.
Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be confounded. They that depart from thee shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the vein of living waters.
That's a good one, yeah. That's what he used. Yeah. So, the adulterous woman. Remember he was writing in the earth?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that Hector, I think he got some, but anyway, that's a good comparison. Because what happened, I heard this years ago from somebody else too. They believed that God was writing all the sins of the Pharisees down. Mm-hmm. And saying, if you're going to condemn her, I got all your sins over here, you go too. Mm-hmm. And they were commenting on here too. And they said, you know, it wasn't just the adulterous woman that gets killed, it's the man who goes with her. So all you guys that are going out with these women, you got to be stoned too. So I did hear years ago that he was writing their sins down or something like that, but it compares to that verse right there.
Yeah.
He's writing down all their iniquities, and that's God.
Yeah.
That's God, and only God knows their hearts.
And then he wrote with the finger of God on a tablet, the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah. Which it was a good point. The Ten Commandments. Read that again. That's a good one. As a matter of fact, I'll use that one. It's a very good one.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be confounded. They that depart from thee shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the vein of living water.
Yeah, right. And he was like writing down all their sins.
Yeah.
I heard that years ago from this guy, Mickey Galeano, told me that. And I said, it's possible, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's also telling them, and he knows their hearts too. You know?
Yeah.
You guys, you're going with whores every night too. Mm-hmm. So you just want me to kill her and not you? You guys are worse than her. So I should kill you all. But he was merciful because the woman begged mercy, and God knew her heart, and he waylaid the death penalty. He didn't get rid of the death penalty for adultery. It's still there.
Yeah.
What do you think mercy means? Mercy means the law says death. Mercy says I'll spare them. He didn't get rid of the death penalty, nor in the New Testament era either. It was enforced under the Old Testament with King David, and God had mercy on him when he committed adultery. God did not kill King David, although he's worthy of death. Because he murdered, murder is even worse than what he did with the adultery. Both were bad, but God was merciful. But that's a good quote. Those are good quotes, so I like to use that. I used the one about common to see, but I never caught that one. See how the Holy Spirit works with all of us here?
He was merciful with David, but he took his son.
He took his son, though, yeah. He took David's
so he
son,
punished
yeah.
him.
Oh, he punished him his whole life, yeah. He forgave David, but he was punished for all sins his whole life. That's, what do we use that to prove? Punishment due to sin.
Hector had to get out, I guess, for a second. Yeah.
Okay. Punishment due to sin. That proves punishment due to sin. Your sins. I like the example they give when you have a cut, and then when you sew it up, it takes time to heal. Now, you're sewed up. It's not going to kill you anymore, and it's cleaned out, but it's going to be painful for a while till it heals. the habit of sin, the act of sin, and in God's justice, he exacts punishment due to the sin. Either you're going to do it yourself through penance, or God's going to lay it upon you. And usually it's both. Because you know how serious sins are. Really, mortal sins, especially. Venial sins could be expiated like that, cleaned out, and you still got to do some penance. That's why what we're doing here during Lent is helping us expiate the punishment due to our sins. And God still sends us his own penances.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.